You're listening to the Wobcast with the one and only, the legendary, the insurmountable Wobby.
Hey everyone, welcome back. It is another edition of the Wobcast, and I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw. TCO Studios at Winter Park is where we are, getting set to talk to you about the Vikings and the Lions. The we in this equation is yours truly, Wobby, and producer of the Wobcast, Chris Carso, in the studio with me right now. What's up, Chris?
It's good to be back, Wobby. Let's do it.
Yes, sir. We have another jam-packed show and another A-list Vikings guest coming up for you. Last week, Dalvin Cook joined the show, and funny, he scored his first career touchdown. Well, this week, we have a guy who scored his first career touchdown against these very Detroit Lions. That is Stephon Diggs, the number three ranked wide receiver in the NFL. As it goes with receiving yards, Stephon Diggs joining the show. We'll get to him in a minute. But first, Diggs, one of several offensive skill players who've been bright spots for the Vikings through three games. Sam Bradford, Case Keenum, Adam Thielen, Dalvin Cook are the others who have been balling out. So we get to talk to Stephon Diggs in a minute to talk about all of that. Also, later in the show, your mail, know the enemy, over-unders, and the first 2017 segment of player we should be talking about, thanks to a very smart emailer who wrote in and asked about this player. All of that and more coming up, but first, our guest today is the one and only Stephon Diggs. We talked to him on Wednesday about a bunch of stuff, including his history going against the Lions. Chris, roll the tape. All right, it's Stephon Diggs. We play the Lions, so we want to talk to Stephon because somebody caught their first career touchdown against this team. Yeah, you remember that one?
Yeah, long, long time ago. Yeah, I remember it.
Was it that long ago?
No, it wasn't. I remember it clear as day.
As Teddy goes back to pass, he fires deep. Diggs open!
Caught. What a catch!
He left his feet for a
what
touchdown!
A catch.
Stephon Diggs' first National Football League touchdown was absolutely spectacular. A 36-yard floater from Bridgewater, and the Vikings have taken the lead.
Tell us about the play.
Back then, we had like certain routes that converted or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Norv had called it. I think it was early in the game. I don't even remember too clear, but I remember it was like a stretch out play. I tried to dive for it. Mm-hmm. And it was my first opportunity to score, so I was trying to make sure I scored. That's all.
You were completely outstretched and in the air.
Yeah, it was a nice one, man. That was one of my favorite catches back then, especially because it was my first touchdown. I'll never forget it.
Yeah, and I mean, everyone is so closely analyzing the process of the catch. So it was like, did the ball hit the ground when you caught that? And like, it was reviewed, and you know, you maintained possession, came all the way through, kept your arms underneath it. It was a tough one to earn, but it was your first career touchdown. Yeah, you never forget that one.
Definitely, it was a tough one to earn, but I had to catch it. No, I mean, people going to analyze the catch and see if there's anything wrong and that type of thing. But for my first one, I don't care how I had to do it. I had to catch it.
Yeah. You got Dalvin Cook, his first touchdown last week. That was pretty cool, wasn't it?
Yeah, finally got him in the end zone. Hopefully we can get him in the end zone a little bit more often than that. Yeah. But he always breaks some runs. Hopefully he won't break a long one.
That's what I want to see. I mean, a 33, 34-yard or 25-yard run.
Longer than that. I want him to get more than that. But you see, he breaks out every once in a while. So hopefully one of these hit.
Yeah,
he told us he was going to do the chicken noodle soup in the end zone. He didn't do it. He didn't do it for us.
It was heated a moment. You know, he didn't really, especially on the goal line, it wasn't like no wide open touchdown for him to celebrate. But it's coming. I know it's coming.
You have 19 catches against these Lions. You have a touchdown. We hope you have many more catches and maybe a couple of touchdowns on Sunday as well. You're up to 293 receiving yards for the season.
Third in the league.
That's really good. There's someone in this building ahead of you, though.
He's got 6 yards on you.
Adam Thielen, 290.
Adam's balling right now, man. Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's still early, so I want to have the same conversation down the line. Week 10, week 11.
So. Adam at 296, Stephon at 293, but you lead the league in touchdowns.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
For receivers, at least.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to touch the end zone a lot more.
Now, we want to be talking about that after week 17,
exactly,
too.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. 100%.
That'll help you get paid. Mm-hmm. What is there something with you and Adam that works well, or do you think any two receivers in this system with how things are going would be doing what you guys are doing? Because it seems like you guys run a lot of route combinations that, mm-hmm. that just work really well together.
I think it's a mixture of both. You know, as far as like the play calling and stuff plays a huge part, and we just try to make the plays work no matter what we get paired with or what we get matched up with. I try my best to get him open, and he does the same. You know, more individually, when you one-on-one, we just we're all about winning, yeah. no matter what our individual battles.
Yeah.
What do you think about the way Thielen's been playing the past 2 years? I mean, it's been amazing to see him. He's top in the league when it comes to catches, yards as well this year, but going back to week 12 of last year, what do you have to say about him?
You know, since I've been here, I always liked Adam a whole lot, especially since day one. I always liked his route running in his hands, and he's always been consistent. So mm-hmm. it kind of came tenfold down the line as far as, like, back then he wasn't playing as much. Mm-hmm. But now you can see all his hard work paying off.
You know, with you, the one thing I always notice in the stat sheet is it has a column for targets and then a column for catches. Mm-hmm. You know, and like DeSean Jackson, who's a really good player, and we saw him last week, you know, he'll have 10 targets and 5 catches, you know, and a bunch of yards. But your targets and catches are always like the same. So you'll have 11 targets and 10 catches. What do you think's the key to having that high ratio where when the ball goes to you, you're also going to catch it?
Probably just, you know, my big thing is, you know, winning my individual battle, making the plays for my quarterback. Mm-hmm. I dropped a pass this past week. I was just wide open. I dropped it. And then on the post, I feel like I was good enough to make that play, and I didn't. So I take it pretty serious, and yeah. I try to, you know, make all the plays thrown to me just to keep that confidence with my quarterback. They got confidence in me, but to keep it and keep it at a high level. So, I don't know. You know, I just try to make the plays that come to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I know. And you're not looking at the stat sheet either. Yeah, it's just something I noticed. It's when the ball goes your way, it's basically getting caught.
Yeah, I try to keep it that way.
Yeah, well, we would love it if you would. Yeah.
Speaking of you in the end zone, that touchdown dance you guys did when it was Cook, Thielen, you mm-hmm. in the middle. Mm-hmm. We got a nice shot of it on Vikings.com, but tell us a little bit about that.
Adam started digging, and then – We were playing putt-putt a little bit. Davin was in there with us, man. It was some fun stuff.
I was watching Inside the NFL, which is a show on Showtime mm-hmm. on Tuesday nights, and they had the guy from Key and Peele on there. Michael
Key and Peele on Comedy Central.
I know you're talking about.
Yeah. Who's the guy? Michael. His name is Michael.
Yeah, I don't know his last name.
Okay, he's a cool cat. His suggestion for a touchdown celebration is you get three teammates and you look like you are playing doubles in tennis.
we can try that out.
These are getting pretty exotic now. Yeah, exactly. That one will require some practice.
The rules are a little lean.
Hey, we don't want to lose. Like we talked to Dalvin. We don't want to lose money, and exactly. we don't want to lose yards.
And it's going to fall back on you guys.
No penalties after touchdowns. We don't want to lose money for fines.
We're not endorsing that. That's
or yards for penalties. Last question, and then we'll let you go because you got to go to practice. What's your favorite part about this team?
Just the energy, you know, everybody's pulling for one another, and it's exciting out there, especially when you see like defense doing well and offense doing well. It's like, it's just, you'd be happy to be on this team.
Yeah. All right, man. You're really busy and you got a lot of things to do, but you came in here with us and spent a few minutes. We appreciate it, man.
Oh, thanks, man.
All right. Good luck Sunday.
Appreciate it.
All right, welcome back for Know Your Enemy segment. It was good to hear from Stephon Diggs. He has been a stud on offense so far. It's been between him and Thielen. I don't know who's been better. I know Thielen's got 6 yards on him, but
yeah, they're very close in receiving yards and receptions. I don't know who the better one is or who's having the better season. I think that's the beauty about having both of those guys is you don't go into the game being like, we got to shut down Julio Jones and then Mohamed Sanu can jump up and bite you. Like, there's a big difference between how good Jones is and how good Sanu is. Even though they're both good players for the Falcons, there's a big difference in, like, their ability and in how defenses look at them. But with Diggs and Thielen, I just don't think there's that big of a discrepancy. I think that that helps the Vikings offense, and hopefully those two can keep it up.
And it was funny to hear Diggs say, we'll check back again at week 10 or 11 when it comes to receiving yards.
I like that competitiveness. Yeah, that's good.
That'll make them both better, that's for sure. All right, we're looking at the enemy, and this week it's the first divisional game of 3 in a row. Mm-hmm. Starts with the Detroit Lions, who we lost to 2 games there last year. We lost at US Bank Stadium in an overtime game, 22-16. It was Golden Tate who leaped into the end zone and scored that game-winning touchdown. And we lost on Thanksgiving Day 16-13 in Detroit, and it was Matt Prater who actually hit the game-winning field goal in that game after a tough interception from Sam Bradford.
Yeah, a touchdown or an interception in our own side of the field, and the Lions turn around, kick a field goal a few moments later. Not a great way to begin Thanksgiving 2016.
While that is not positive, we do have some positive stats here for you. Vikings passed against the Detroit Lions 72-38-1.
Okay.
That is good.
Yes, it is. And it's really good at home.
Very good at home. At home, 39-15-1. That's obviously at the Metrodome. Does not include US Bank Stadium besides the last game that we did lose. So we have not beat them at US Bank Stadium yet, just 0-1 there. But I think we're going to get the first one.
Yeah, well, I don't want to lose any games at US Bank Stadium this year. I mean, I think we have some really tough road games at Green Bay, of course, in Week 16. We're at Atlanta. We're at Carolina. We got to go to London. Like, Soldier Field's always tough. I mean, we need to win our home games. That includes this week against the Lions, and I think we can do it, but I think it's going to be a good game because the Lions have a bunch of good players. You're going to get to them right now.
All right, and good players. We're starting out with the highest-paid player in the NFL, and that's Matthew Stafford, who signed a $151.5 million contract for 6 years with a $50 million signing bonus. Yeah. That must be nice.
Yeah, I think when you do that, you don't look at price tags when you shop anymore. You know what I mean? Like when I'm going to the store and I'm looking to buy a shirt or something like that, like it matters what it costs.
Big time.
Well, yeah, I mean it matters what this shirt costs. Like I want to get this nice dress shirt, you know, and it's $59. Like I'm not getting that nice dress shirt. Like I need one that's $39. I don't think Mrs. Stafford is worrying about that
anymore.
Not
for Mr. Stafford. Yeah. He can shop at Gucci or Louis Vuitton. Right. Whatever he's looking at designer-wise, I'm sure he's good to go there.
Yeah, he good. Now, the one thing to remember about Stafford, and Zim has talked about this, Chris, this week, and you don't think of Matthew Stafford in this way, but Zim does, and he does for a reason. Matthew Stafford, you have to be careful with him and making plays with his legs. He scramble to throw, and he'll scramble to run. Matthew Stafford, 4 rushes for 30 yards against us on Thanksgiving Day last year. 7 carries for 56 yards this year. That's 8 yards a carry. And last year, he had 200 rushing yards and 2 touchdowns. So, like, this is not just he'll run for 4 or 5 yards once or twice a game. If you don't rush him the smart way, he'll get out and run for a first down on you 2 or 3 times a game. It's a backbreaker for your defense.
That's very underrated, and that's a great stat, especially since Mike Zimmer actually noted that in his press conference on Wednesday. Now looking at his passing numbers, you don't realize looking at his career, he's thrown for over 30,000 yards, 194 touchdowns, and 109 interceptions. That's a pretty good ratio as a veteran quarterback in this league. This year, 678 yards through 3 games, 7 touchdowns, and just 1 interception. Yep. So he's clearly not...
He's sharp.
He's not turning the ball over.
No, he's sharp this year. Very good. And his favorite receiver is Golden Tate.
Golden Tate, the number one wide receiver. 21 receptions through 3 games, 3rd in the NFL with that mark, 190 yards and 1 touchdown this year. He leads all Lions receivers in yards, receptions, and targets as well. Mm-hmm. He's a guy that Xavier Rhodes will be keeping a nice eye on.
You'd think so. Now, what will be interesting to see is what happens when Tate moves into the slot, because the Lions move Tate inside when they get into their subgroups. So we had Pete Bursich break down some Lions offense on Vikings game plan this week. The show has not aired, but Pete's segment in the film room with PA is up on the website right now. And one of the first plays we break down is a Golden Tate touchdown where he is in the slot and they have 2 clear out routes that run defenders vertically. And Golden Tate comes on a safety underneath on a crosser. A big mismatch on Golden Tate. A safety on Golden Tate is generally a mismatch, and Tate is running across her, and Stafford finds him, hits him in stride for a touchdown. So the Lions find ways to get Tate the ball, screens on the outside, choice routes on the inside. So a very tricky figure for any defense, and so the Vikings will have to keep their eye on Golden Tate.
That's a good note. He could play on the inside and on the outside.
Yeah, you can go anywhere.
Next, we're looking at a special teamer, and that's Matt Prater. Man, mm-hmm. this guy has had quite the season thus far. He broke the full season record for 55-plus yard field goals. He's already hit four of those field goals in three games. No one in the history of the NFL has hit that many in a full season.
And he's already got it.
He's already got
We're
it.
We're not That's, even done with a month, the first month.
Seeing that stat today, I double-checked my notes a few times to make sure that I was correct there. But
yeah, let's make this game not come down to a field goal for the Lions, because Prater, he's got a monster leg. We're indoors, so the environment's going to be perfect for kicking.
Yep.
And Prater's clutch. So, I mean, let's hope it's not Matt Prater jogging out onto the field for the last play of the game, because if it is, I don't like our chances.
Another cool note for the special teamers, Coach Prefer addressed the media this morning in his interview, and he noted that he coached both the punter and the kicker.
No, Locke is their punter. That's
Locke
right.
Locke is Jeff Locke, our kicker last year and for the last four seasons before that. And then Matt Prater, he actually coached when he was the special teams coordinator
Denver?
In Denver.
Really? Yeah. Okay, interesting. Yeah, I mean, now people listening who don't keep up with Indianapolis Colts news may not have known that Jeff Locke was the Lions punter. But Jeff Locke signed with the Colts this offseason in free agency, got a bunch of money, but the Colts cut him in favor of a younger punter that they wanted to keep. Locke ends up with the Detroit Lions because Sam Martin got hurt. Sam Martin, a very good punter. One of my favorites, actually, in the NFL. I think he's got a dynamite leg. But Jeff Locke now is their punter, so we're going to see him on Sunday, and it'll be great to see Jeff. Like him. Great dude. Always wish him well, except when we're playing him, and we're playing him on Sunday.
That's exactly what Prefer said. He said these two guys were great young guys to coach, but when you go against him, he's not going to root for him.
Yeah.
All right, next we're going on the defensive side, and when you look at the Lions' defense, there are not a lot of big names on the defensive line, but there is one. Their best pass rusher is Ziggy Ansah.
Yeah.
He actually had three sacks in week one against the Giants, kind of changed that game. That game was one-sided on both sides on offense and defense for the Lions. So he's a guy who can change the game. 10 forced fumbles in his career and 35 sacks. He is one guy I'm definitely keeping an eye on when our offensive line is blocking against
him. Yeah, Ziggy could play on either side, left defensive end or right defensive end. He was banged up last year, I believe, with an ankle injury, and that really hampered his production and his explosiveness. He's not banged up right now, so he is probably public enemy number one in the Lions defense. It's him, it's Darius Slay, and it's Glover Quinn. Those are their three best defenders, with apologies to someone like Tahir Whitehead. They have a nice rookie linebacker named Jared Davis. Missed last week's game.
Florida kid.
Yeah, Florida kid. Missed last week's game because he suffered a concussion against the Giants. So they have some good defenders, but I think in terms of ruining the game, Ziggy Ansah is the premier threat on that side of the field for the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, so that'll do it for the Know Your Enemy. There are a lot of enemies that we will be keeping an eye on this week, whether it's on special teams, offense, or defense. There are some big names on this Detroit Lions team as they're 2-1. We're going to move over to the fan mail segment, and let's go with the first question.
All right.
What's up with Danielle Hunter? 12.5 sacks last year. Now he is starting and nothing so far. I hope he gets the sack machine going soon. Skull, says Alex Lexvald from North Dakota.
Yeah, you know, I'm getting a lot of these questions and people wondering why Hunter doesn't have any sacks. He had 12.5 sacks despite playing in just 50% of the snaps last year. Now he's playing as a starter and doesn't have any sacks through three games. I think if you look at just the numbers, Chris and Alex, I can see why you'd wonder or be concerned, but you have to look deeper than that. You have to look at what the team is asking Hunter to do. And this is not me making up an excuse or apologizing for Hunter's production. It's me knowing that against Pittsburgh, the Vikings wanted to keep Roethlisberger in the pocket. And so they were very cognizant of how they rush. They asked our DNs to contain Roethlisberger so we could rush him, focus our pass rush on the interior with the tackle. So a lot of times, if you go back and watch the Steelers game, look what Danielle Hunter was doing at the snap. He was rushing wide on purpose, not to beat the tackle to the outside, but to keep Roethlisberger in the pocket. Now, against the Buccaneers, Mike Zimmer said on Vikings game plan this week, and talking about Jameis Winston and last week's game, that they were focusing on keeping Winston contained, and when they flushed him from the pocket, they wanted to flush Winston to his left, which meant that Danielle Hunter, when lining up as the left defensive end, would be on the Bucks' right side of the offense, and so he was responsible for flushing away from Danielle Hunter, and so that could maybe explain why Hunter didn't have any sacks and Everson Griffin did. So I'm not worried about Hunter at all. He's coming off the ball well. He's executing his assignment very well, and he's playing well against the run. He had a couple of really good run stops against the Buccaneers. We have not allowed a run of longer than 11 yards this season. We didn't allow a run of more than 4 yards against the Buccaneers, so I'm not worried about Danielle.
And we'll actually touch on Danielle Hunter a little bit later in the player to watch segment. And
ooh, okay.
George Edwards said some real good things.
You got some sound to play for us later.
We have some sound all later, right, cool, on Danielle Hunter, so we'll get to that in a few. The next question is from Jim Richards. The team is pulling together again, and with quarterback instability at this time, what worries me the most is we do not seem to play through games in which we are ahead. Prevent is one thing, but going for the kill is another. We need that instinct in the games, or we are going to lose some of them that will cost us dearly. What do you think, Wobby?
Yeah, I get it. I get what Jim is saying, because we gave up some garbage yards to Jameis Winston in the third quarter last week, and did the same thing to Drew Brees in week one. So I get it. Also, we're talking about a Lions team that set the NFL record for fourth quarter comebacks last year. They had 8 of them. And guess what? 2 were against us.
Yep. Those two hurt too.
Yeah, including one for the ages here at US Bank Stadium, honestly. I mean, what Matthew Stafford was able to do in the last 45 seconds of that game was amazing. So Jim is right. We need to finish games better. We need to play 4 full quarters of Vikings football to beat this team.
We're going to go to the next question, and it's from Nick Babetsky. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of terrific rookies this season in Hunt, Kareem Hunt of the Chiefs, Dalvin Cook, and Christian McCaffrey of the Panthers. But I wonder if anyone is really paying attention to Pat Elflein. Mm-hmm. He's making veteran line calls, pulling in some run support with the best of them. And honestly, he might be the best lineman on this team as a rookie. It would be nice if he received a little more national recognition.
Love it. And he is the player we should be talking about. Yes, this is him, Pat Elflein. If we had a player we should be talking about segment in this edition of the Wobcast, it is a regular segment in Wobcast. We haven't had it yet this year. So here's the first installment of 2017. And it is exactly who Nick mentions. It is Pat Elflein. He is... I don't want to say he's surpassing expectations, because I know the team had high expectations for him, but he is playing the way he needs to play for us to be a good offense. And that's why part of the reason why we've been a good offense through the first 3 weeks of the season, particularly at home, is because of the way Pat Elflein has played. So I don't know. We can't, I guess, give him national recognition here, because we're, you know, a podcast for an NFL club, and I don't know that fans of other NFL clubs are listening. If they are, thank you, and we hope you keep listening. But locally here, or at least myopically focused on the Minnesota Vikings, we're giving Pat Elflein some attention right now because he's been a stud.
I totally agree. I mean, you don't notice him out there, and when you don't notice a rookie on the offensive line,
probably good.
That is a good thing.
Yeah,
so he's been absolutely incredible, especially with 2 quarterbacks already as such a young player. So.
Yep.
All right, we're going to the last question here, and it's from Cullen Dillard in Reno, Nevada.
Okay.
What do you think of the Vikings will do as to roster moves in a couple weeks when Michael Floyd is activated? From your vantage point, which player is most likely to be released?
You don't know for sure until you get to the day when you activate Floyd, and the Vikings will play another game before they can activate Michael Floyd. It's a 4-game suspension. Of course, our game against Detroit on Sunday is game number 4, so his suspension will end next Monday. And and by next Monday, I mean the Monday after the Detroit game. So now, if you want to put him on your active roster, which I would imagine the Vikings will do, that means you got to make room for him. We have a 53-man roster right now, so someone's got to go. Now, if someone gets hurt, has a season-ending injury or a long-term injury in the Lions game, the problem is solved for you. That guy goes to short-term or season-ending IR. And now you have 52 guys, and Michael Floyd is your 53rd. If you aren't able to do that, if you don't have to do that,
got a decision to make. You can switch him out for another wide receiver. You have two rookies, Stacy Coley and Rodney Adams, who could go to the practice squad. You have Jarius Wright that you could sub out, and you would, you know, obviously have to release him. Or you can go to another position. You know, if you think you are deep at linebacker or deep at safety, you can keep all those receivers and drop a player for another position. I don't know what's going to happen with two rookies in the wide receiver group and two solid guys like Diggs and Thielen. Seems like you might be able to afford to drop one of those two rookies to the practice squad and bring Floyd up. But, you know, I don't think it makes much sense to predict it right now because we got to play this game on Sunday first.
It's definitely a tough question to answer, but we're going to have to wait and see what happens in this game. Obviously, there's injuries and things that could happen. So,
yep.
All right, we're moving on to the two stats of the week. So usually it would be one stat of the week, but they were two stats that...
You just couldn't decide, so you put them both in.
I put them both in. Usually it would just be one, but I'm going with two because these are two stats on the Vikings offense. You heard from Stephon Diggs earlier in the show. I mean, I can't believe how great the passing offense has looked thus far.
Yeah.
The first one is the Vikings offense has converted 21 third downs through 3 weeks, tied for second in the NFL, and has converted on 50%, 21 of 42 on its third downs, which is also second in the NFL. We know that third downs are as crucial as they come when it's big plays in a game, and to see a 50% mark for that thus far, especially with two different quarterbacks, I'm impressed. So that was the first stat.
Yep.
Offensive line has a lot to do with that as well.
For sure. The running game has a lot to do with that. Getting into third and manageable, receivers getting open on third downs has a lot to do with that, and quarterbacks being accurate has a lot to do with that. There was a third down last week, Chris, early in the game against Tampa Bay, where Case Keenum saw a nickel blitz and changed the play at the line of scrimmage. I'm sure the protection had to change. The Vikings picked up the blitz. Nick Easton cut the blitzing nickel backer or nickel corner, and Adam Thielen was on a safety and ran a flag route, and Case Keenum put the ball right on the money. So a really good example there of a full team effort on third down, changing the play at the line of scrimmage, getting the protection right, picking up the blitz, and Case Keenum dropping a dime to Adam Thielen, who toe-tapped his way in bounds before he went out of bounds. So it takes a full team effort to have good third down numbers like that, and that's what we've seen from the Vikings so far.
That is an excellent just analysis of a total play when it comes to a team working together. And I'm sure Pat Shermer was screaming in somebody's ear to change that play at the line as well. The next stat of the week is another big one for the Vikings passing offense, and it's obviously considers Sam Bradford as well as Case Keenum. The Vikings have thrown for 882 yards through three games in 2017, third most in franchise history since 1970. Thielen and Diggs are obviously second and third in the league in receiving yards. We've noted that a few times throughout the show, and to see that kind of production through three games, I mean, it doesn't get much better than that.
No, it doesn't. And, you know, it's so cool. Everyone knew the Vikings defense was good and would probably be good in 2017, but all the questions in the offseason and in training camp and the preseason were about the offense, right? So to see the offense playing the way it has been a very pleasant surprise and is a big reason why the Vikings are 2-1. The production has been super good. It took the Vikings over four games to get to this many passing yards last season. They're already there this year, so that's good.
Those are our two stats of the week. Usually we'll go with one, but this week we were just so high on the Vikings offense, so we were giving you two. The next segment is player to watch.
We each have one.
Okay.
I want you to go first because you've got some supporting evidence for yours. So you're going to probably blow me out of the water in this segment, but we'll see if I can respond.
All right. Well, my player to watch is Danielle Hunter. Mm-hmm. As we noted, 12.5 sacks last year in a non-starting role. He's been a starter this year. He has not gotten a sack thus far. Everson Griffin has three sacks and has been making him known when we see that sack daddy touchdown dance. But
sack dance, yep.
Yep. We know Danielle Hunter's been a little quiet on the sack numbers, but we're going to talk about what he's been doing in the run game. The Vikings' run defense has held opponents to 62.7 yards per game. That is third in the NFL. run defense was something that was criticized last year. We were 20th in the league in rushing yards allowed in all of 2016. So this sort of improvement in the first three games is great to see. We're also 5th in the NFL with 188 rushing yards allowed through the first three games. So that is something that they focused on all throughout training camp and through the offseason, and Danielle Hunter earning that starting spot has been a big part of that. And we'll hear from Vikings defensive coordinator George Edwards, who actually spoke today about how great Hunter has been against the run.
I think Danielle is just what he is. He's going to come to work every day. He's going to work hard. He's going to try to do the things that we ask him to do. He's going to pay attention to the details of what we're trying to get accomplished from day to day, from week to week, from game to game. So, you know, what you see is what you get out of him. I mean, he's working tremendously hard for what we're asking him to do, doing a good job of, you know, everything that we've asked of him. And he just, you know, comes in to work, works hard every day to execute what it is we want to do. So he's a true professional. That's a good room to be in because there's a lot of guys in there that are true professionals. And, you know, so he falls right in line with that group and does a good job.
Drawing as many double teams as you expected or more, I mean, kind of, and what's that doing, you think, for, you know, maybe freeing up Everson?
I think, you know, the success that he had last year, people are a lot more aware of who he is and do certain things protection-wise, whether it's helping with a chip or protection going one way or the other. So, you know, from that aspect of it, I think it does help. But, you know, every week is a different week. Every week's a different matchup. So it just depends on who we're playing and what they're deciding to do protection-wise.
Anything in particular against the run that he's done, you know, that you've been pretty impressed with?
He's done a good job of not only, you know, holding a point, but his ability to be able to get on and off a block. And he's very athletic, and sometimes he can get positions and get out of them that, you know, everybody can't do. So, like I said, his attention to detail in the run game has been good, and him understanding what we're asking by certain defenses that we run has been, you know, pretty good so far to start of the season.
All right, I'm going to go same side of the ball for the same team, Chris, on my player to watch for Sunday. My guy is number 5'5", Anthony Barr. Great start to the season through three games for Anthony Barr. He was healthy all offseason and all of training camp and all of the preseason, and it's showing by how he's playing here in the regular season. I think everyone knows he was dynamite and was a stud as a rookie, and I think he's playing up to that level here in 2017 as well. Also, why I have Anthony Barr as a player to watch is because I think this is a matchup league, and I think his matchups in this game are going to be really important. We saw how well Anthony Barr did kind of shadowing Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell in week two had 4 catches for 4 yards, and a big reason why was Anthony Barr was tailing him every step of the way. With Theo Riddick on this team, a guy who caught 80 balls 2 years ago, didn't last year because he was hurt for 6 games. Theo Riddick, running back for the Lions, he runs routes and catches the ball like a receiver. He can also run the ball. When he's on the field, I think Anthony Barr is our best chance to contain him. And we've already talked about Matthew Stafford as a runner, extending plays with his legs, even rushing for yards and first downs. I think with Barr on the field, he's a guy who can keep an eye on Matthew Stafford. He's a 3-down linebacker. He's off to a great start this season. He's healthy. He is my player to watch for Sunday.
That is a good pick. He has definitely been standing out when it comes to those guarding some of those guys like Stafford in the run, and obviously the running backs out of the backfield who can catch the ball.
Yep.
All right, those are our players to watch. Keep an eye on those two guys. They've been nothing but spectacular this year, even if it doesn't show up on the stat sheet or in a big play. Mm-hmm. They've been fun to watch. The last segment of the show is going to be the over-under segment. We've been doing this segment every week, and it's been fun. I think last week we hit on every single
over-under.
We were
3-for-3 because we were over on all three. Yep. So, yeah, it was awesome.
It was all Vikings offense, and, man, was it all Vikings offense in that game last week. Yep. So we nailed that. We're going to start out with the first one, and we're going Vikings offense again just because it's been fun to watch. Catches for Mr. Stephon Diggs or plus Adam Thielen combined. So the two of them, receptions combined, 8.5.
Give me the over on this. And if I was allowed to gamble on the NFL and I was in Clark County, Nevada in Las Vegas and I saw this line, I would go to the ATM machine.
Wow.
I'm over on this. I love our chances of being over 8.5 with Diggs and Thielen combined. No disrespect to the Lions secondary. I think Darius Slay is really good.
They have four corners, Chris, that they can use on a regular basis, kind of like us. Mm-hmm. And I like their pass rush, but we're at home. Case Keenum is hot. If Bradford plays, we know he can play well at US Bank Stadium. We saw it in week one. Diggs and Thielen are on fire. I think it's going to stay that way. I'm over on this. How about you?
I'm going to agree, Wobby. The two of them, you figure if they average five receptions each, you mm-hmm. go over on that. We know the two are both focal points of the offense at this point in the season. Whether it's Keenum, whether it's Bradford, we're at home. I like our chances. If this was on the road, I might go under. I really might because it's tough to do out there in Detroit. But the fact that we're at home, the offense is rolling. We're going over on that one.
All right.
Next is passing yards for Matt Stafford, and it's 250.5. I gave you the little half point there around the 250. What do you think for Stafford?
God, I want to go under on this so badly.
Yeah.
But I'm not. I'm going to go over on this as well. Here's why. I see kind of three ways it could go. Stafford could explode in this game and just be his normal self and you know, be really productive, which we've seen him do time and again. He could do the opposite of that, not be very good and be under. Or the Vikings could win this game, but Stafford could get a bunch of yardage in the fourth quarter, like we've seen a couple of other quarterbacks do. And even though you win the game, he still gets over 250. So two out of those three scenarios would put him over, so I'm going over.
I'm going over as well. We already said it. He has 680 yards already rounded out there through the first three games. He has been dynamite for this team, and I see, even if we get ahead early, like you mentioned, I see him getting comeback points or comeback yards in that game. So I'm going over. I think he throws for around 275. But I do think we win this game, that's for sure.
Good.
All right, and the last one is going to be Golden Tate, who we mentioned before, receiving yards. Like we said before, he leads the team in yards with 190. So we're going to go 85.5 in this game, under or over, Wobby?
Under. I'm going under on this. We've done just too good of a job with the opposing team's top receiver since Mike Zimmer has arrived here in 2014, and particularly this season. And I get it. This is a little bit of a different animal than Mike Evans was, or than Michael Thomas was, or than Antonio Brown was, just because Tate and how often he's inside, it might mean that we don't see Rhodes on him the whole game. But I think we're good enough at the other corner positions that no matter where Tate lines up, we'll have our eye on him. And I think our pass rush is going to be up to the challenge in this game. So I'm under on 85.5 receiving yards for Mr. Golden Tate. No disrespect.
I hate to say it, but I think I'm going to go over.
Son of a gun.
We can't agree on everything, and we've been agreeing too much the past few weeks.
Make the case. Let me hear it.
My case is Golden Tate is the main point when it comes to Matt Stafford and where he wants to go with the ball. The Lions do have two other wide receivers in a young Kenny Galladay. He's a rookie. And Marvin Jones, who actually played under Coach Zimmer for the Cincinnati Bengals. Two great players, but they are not up to the talent level of Golden Tate. As we mentioned, he leads the team in targets. You don't really have a running back where you're going to go with the ball 25 times in this game. So I think he'll get 10 to 13 targets in this game.
Yeah.
And if he's on the inside and away from Xavier Rhodes, I think there's a chance he goes over that 85.
Yeah, you're right. There is a chance. Yeah. I mean, this is a good number, probably really close to what it is in Vegas. I'll have to go and look and check, but I bet it's pretty close. But that is the one we disagree on. So that will tip the scales as to who goes, who wins the over-under contest for the week. So, all right, that's it. This edition of the Wobcast is over. The Vikings and the Lions, they play on Sunday at US Bank Stadium. Kickoff scheduled for noon Central Time. Make sure you catch the game on the Vikings Radio Network. Mike Musman will host the pregame show beginning at 10. Then it will be Paul Allen, Pete Bursich, Ben Lieber, and Greg Coleman on the sidelines for Vikings and Lions, bringing you the action on the Vikings Radio Network. Tons of content coming between now and then, of course, after the game on Vikings.com. So make sure you stick around Vikings.com to keep track of your favorite football team. If you haven't downloaded the Vikings app, make sure you do that, because all of our content will be delivered straight to your favorite mobile device or tablet. Also, iHeartRadio has a Vikings channel. So get the iHeartRadio app and go to the Vikings channel.
channel. All of our great audio content is there as well. Of course, you can subscribe to the Wobcast in the Apple Podcasts app. So if you haven't subscribed to the Wobcast, you should go to the Apple Podcasts app, subscribe. That way the Wobcast is on your phone every single week and you don't have to worry about it. You just go in there and you play it. On behalf of producer and co-host Chris Corso, I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, signing off of the Wobcast for now. Have a good weekend. Enjoy the game. Talk to you next week.